Hello, everybody. Charisse here with a very special announcement. I am thrilled to share that RCAT is now an official AIA continuing education provider. With this remarkable distinction, RCAT has launched RCATemy, a continuing education platform for the busy AEC professional. And here's the really exciting part. You can now earn continuing education credits by doing exactly what you are doing right now. That's right, you can now earn AIA credits by listening to select episodes of Detail. Whether you're working around the house, on your commute, or stuck in a waiting room, just listen, take a brief quiz, and your credit will automatically be recorded with AIA. It's really that simple. Plus, bonus points that much of our content qualifies for that elusive HSW credit. And we all know how valuable those are. What more could you ask for? We aim to please. Find out more at rcat.com/continuing-education or follow the link in our show notes. And thank you for tuning in to the RCAT Detailed podcast. This is an original podcast by RCAT. Try the number one most used website for finding building product information and save time and money. No registration is required with RCAT, so try it today and get ahead on your next project. Visit RCAT.com. That's ARCAT.com. Hi, Charisse here, host of the RCAT Detailed podcast. I recently had the opportunity to join the RCAT team at the AIA Conference on Architecture and Design in Boston. Every year, the AIA and AEC community convenes to network, share knowledge, and discuss today's most pressing issues. On the expo floor, AIA 25 fosters cross-industry collaborations and solutions across the entire spectrum of the AEC industry. I joined RCAT under the Big Red A to speak with several interesting people and companies who are delivering solutions to design a better world. We are bringing those conversations to you here as bonus content. Enjoy. My guest today is Gurbinder Chahal, Business Development Manager at Garaventa Lift. Gurbinder is driven by the statement, I love people who are driven, just so you know, by the statement, good people need good people to become great people. I love that statement. Greatness is not created in a vacuum. He has been working passionately creating an accessible world with his colleagues across five continents for the past 17 years. Being in the industry for many years, he has a wealth of experience in building teams, succeeding in challenging situations where others have failed, and fighting mediocrity. I can tell already this is going to be a great interview. Gurbinder, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Fantastic. Thank you for having me.
Show going well so far?
Absolutely. It's been wonderful. We've had all sorts of guests come to our booth already in the first half of the day from everywhere from the Bahamas to Dubai. And of course, our local guests here from just Massachusetts and New York and all the other places in between. It's been wonderful.
I have to say that my favorite thing, hands down, in going to conferences, which I attend a fair number of, are the people I get to meet.
Absolutely. You know, everybody has a different story, right?
Exactly. But the incredible people I get to meet make it all worthwhile. So let's start with, give me a 5-minute introduction to your company and your products.
Okay.
You're basically a little bit longer than your elevator speech so that our listeners kind of know who we're talking to before we start going further.
Of course, for sure. So a little bit about Garaventa Lift. We've been manufacturing accessibility products as well as light commercial elevators and home elevators for the last 50 years in Vancouver, British Columbia. We have 250 smiling faces there at the factory that are building all the stuff, shipping them worldwide. And then locally, wherever you happen to be, we have either our own Garaventa representative installing them or a distributor. And the variety of products that we sell are, as I mentioned, accessibility products, which are in the space of incline platformless, vertical platformless. You'll find those in places where existing buildings need to have some sort of accommodation for people with disabilities. So they'll put in a vertical platform lift or an incline platform lift. You might see that in a place like a bank or a school or a sports stadium, is different places where you might have seen those products. Some of the other products that I mentioned, Lula elevators, light commercial elevators, those are a little bit more robust, 1,400 pound elevators. Those get to be used in a variety of different spaces that are up to 25 feet of travel. So like a small commercial elevator. And then again, the last one, last product category is residential elevators. Those are really just beautiful elevators for your home. We're finding that as many people in the architecture space are seeing, that many people want to age in place now, create their forever home, create barrier-free access so that when you have aging people that come to visit your home, whether it be grandma or grandpa, or maybe you just want to be able to have somebody be able to get to the second floor of your home in a barrier-free way. So we're finding that home elevators are an increasingly important design feature in new construction as well as renovation. So if you don't have the space within a home, people are building out onto the backs of their homes, building like a 6x6 bump out, and then putting in a modern convenience of an elevator in there so you don't have to give up any footprint of the house that you already love.
Interesting, because I was just thinking that, like, I live in a 3-story townhome, and there is no restroom on the main floor. So you either go up or go down. And just hearing you talk about your products and thinking, okay, where would I, you know, because my house is not built for somebody with accessibility issues at all. As a matter of fact, my mom struggles coming to visit my house because of accessibility issues. It's like, where would I put, where, I don't have room for an elevator, you know, so I didn't know that you could.
Yeah, that used to be, let's say, 5% of our business, but in the last 10 years, we've seen that grow to 1/4 of our business. Wow. Is in renovations. And for the things that we described, that people are finding it cost prohibitive, perhaps, to find another home that they love, or they already love the home that they've been living in their whole lives. And so to be able to adapt it to your forever home, if you build out onto the back of the home whenever it's possible, some municipalities don't like that so much, so it depends on your local restrictions, but being able to build out onto the back of your home, you don't have to give up any of the feng shui or any of the look, touch, and feel of the home that you're already familiar with and love, and now you could get to any other floor, whether it be a second floor to access restrooms or even a garage, or being able to have a storage space, whatever it happens to be.
So one of the things I'm hoping during my conversations here with different manufacturers at AIA is I'm hoping you'll teach me something so I do better work in my job. I'm a spec writer during the day, and I don't get feedback oftentimes what happens with my specs once the project's being built. Like, what did I maybe not cover that I should have that caused a change order on the project? Or what did I cover incorrectly? And nobody probably knows better than you and your company, like, the things you're encountering on the job because I didn't write my specs correctly. So I was hoping you could kind of give me an idea of what are some of the more common things you see that I do wrong. And I don't mean me personally, because of course I don't ever make a mistake, but you know, people like me are design professionals, whether it's on the drawings or in the specs. Mm-hmm. What can design professionals be doing better to have a more successful build on the project once we get to that point?
Sure. Okay. So first, let's discuss a little bit about home elevators. Something that typically is maybe lost in translation or something that could be improved upon is that the inclination is to make an elevator in a home and then make that as small as possible for some reason, saying, I only have this amount of room that I have to work with. I want to fit an elevator in there. And if it's new construction, whenever possible, you're going to want a functional elevator. Even if you don't need it to accommodate a wheelchair, you want to have, it's a 1,000 pound elevator. You're going to want it large enough so it could fit a few people and a few pieces of luggage and whatever else you might want to move up and down. Sometimes it's designed in such a way that it's so small that you could barely even fit into it. So oftentimes people happen to be, you know, less than happy with the finished result. They wanted that beautiful elevator, they got it, but unfortunately it's so small that it's not very functional. So at our factory, we're designing everything completely custom. So what we encourage designers to do is to work with your client, or if you're dreaming up your own dream home, forever home, that you decide what size do you want the inside of that elevator cab to be, and then we could tell you what size in your plans you would have to leave to accommodate for that. So I would say that's a very important key element, because if you design a beautiful elevator and then it's so small that you're barely fitting into it, it doesn't really delight anybody. And oftentimes designers won't want to give up that extra space, because I do need that space for that hallway or that bathroom. Or so that's one thing on home elevators that is really crucial, is making sure it's large enough so it's really functional and it's something that's going to delight the customer or delight yourself. When it comes to our commercial products, when it comes to some of our commercial accessibility lifts, a lot of the times the thought is put in towards that I'm being required to provide accessibility for this building. Sometimes it's a bit of an afterthought that somebody will be using this piece of equipment to access this building. And the reason why I say that is sometimes wheelchair lifts are designed in back alleys and places that are less than favorable. And I had one of my mentors, as I've been in the industry for 18 years now, one of my mentors fairly early on was a gentleman by the name of Paul Bryan that was in a wheelchair. And he took me on a sales call as a young gentleman at the time. And he said, this is one of my favorite sushi restaurants. And you see, they have the wheelchair lift right up front in the lobby. They originally wanted to put it in the back. And I told them that, how would I feel? I'm a gentleman in a chair, and out the back goes your garbage, and all your customers come in the front where the beautiful fountain is, where you have these beautiful, you know, your beautiful foyer. So again, designing these pieces of equipment in a place where somebody could be treated with dignity. Also some place where different elements when it comes to accessibility lifts, designing them in such a way so they're functional, so that a door doesn't swing into somebody where they're pressing the button, right? Sometimes really thinking out the sequence of how that's gonna functionally be working in the building, who's gonna be using it, under which circumstances, that's gonna lead you to a much better project.
I'm really glad you brought that up too, because nothing drives me crazier than when I see somebody do that. Like, do you want to enter through the back alley? Or it's in some kind of situation where it takes a process to use it.
Or sometimes so I'm getting up and down using your freight elevator. Yep. And yeah, that doesn't make me feel right, for sure.
No, I wouldn't enjoy it. And I think that's sometimes, just as human beings, we can forget to put ourselves in somebody else's shoes for a minute before we make that decision. Like, you know, picture to yourself. I love to do things like walk around with my eyes closed.
Yeah.
I do it at home sometimes just because I think sometimes you need to walk in other people's shoes.
I agree.
And like, you can't make a decision for a blind person. You can do homework and read what the books say, but have you experienced any of what it's like to be blind and navigating what you're trying to do? Walk around your house for a while, or walk around something similar to what you're trying to design, and
exactly.
Do that blind.
I'll mention one other thing. For vertical platform lifts, for instance, to be able to design them so that they delight a user and make it as easy as possible, it's a bit of a frame at the bottom, so they need to sit in a 3-inch deep depression. Without a 3-inch deep pit, then you're going to have to add a ramp. Now you've created a potential tripping hazard. You've created another barrier for somebody. So now you've created this lift so that they could get to another floor, but now they got to negotiate with a ramp as well. So whenever possible, you're going to be wanting to design these products, the vertical platform lifts, so that they could sit in that pit, so somebody could get on the product nice and flush in the safest manner possible. So
paramount being,
exactly.
Yeah.
So paramount is designing from not only a functionality and safety in mind, but also, as we talked about, with dignity. You want to be in the part of the building that everybody else is in. You don't want to be an afterthought.
great advice. So, same question about construction. Some of the best stories, I think, about a project come during construction, because that's when our designs are being built. Like, mm-hmm. does this lovely vision we had and put on paper that we specified, does it actually come together the way we thought it would once you get out on the site? And there is invariably things that we fail to address about installation of a product that cause problems. If we don't get that feedback, you know, back to us to know that we made that mistake, we keep making it over and over again. And that's where you come into play. Well, here's what we see go wrong all the time. I love those things because those are the things we're not fixing.
Absolutely.
They're not the one ofs, but this one keeps happening all the time. And often that is solely because that happened, but it never got back to me, or it never got back to the person that was designing the building. You know, sometimes in some firms, I worked at a firm where the architect that did the CA on the project was not the architect that designed it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that architect would never tell the designer, hey, you did this detail incorrectly, so this problem happened. So guess what? That designer does it again. You have the same problem during construction. What are the most common issues you see during construction?
During construction, so for a home elevator, for instance, all these products, different product categories kind of have their own flavor of challenges. If we were just to start with home elevators, typically the challenges during construction is the backing will be put in the wrong part of the wall. The electrical will be accommodated in the wrong place. The door entrances, there'll be a natural inclination to think that an elevator door entrance is centered when really it should be centered upon the hoistway itself and not the actual center line of that door. So there's all these nuances that we have all this information in our design and planning guides, but choosing the right partner in your area to be able, the licensed elevator contractor, to make sure that while you're in the construction process, you're going to have a project manager come to site that's mindful on all of these different parameters. They're going to lay a tape measure down, make sure your door entrances are centered at the right spot, make sure that you've put the adequate backing in the wall, make sure that you've made that pit big enough so that, again, the elevator could sit in the proper depression so somebody could get on flush at the lowest level. And then, of course, accommodating for a correct amount of overhead so that there's some equipment on the top of the elevator. So there has to be 1 foot space for an addition to the height that's required. So for a 7 foot height elevator cab, you require 8 feet, so just one additional foot. For an 8 foot cab, you require 9 feet, so one additional foot. So being able to have all those parameters in place, having that extra foot above of your finished floor on your uppermost level, accommodating for the correct pit, having the backing correctly in the wall, and again, making sure that your door center lines are the place that they need to be. The natural inclination being that it should be the center, but really it's centered upon the hoistway, not the actual door center. So those are quite a few things that we make sure that those pitfalls don't happen by picking a strong elevator contractor that's going to come throughout the process, lay the tape measure down, and make sure that before anything's ordered, anything gets put into production. As I mentioned, these are all custom products. So all of those parameters have all been laid out, finalized before anything starts being built anywhere. On the commercial side, a lot of coordination has to be done as well. And a lot of that, again, has to do with that site preparation. There'll be a lot of ideas of how it needs to be done on paper, but then functionally, when it's a physical building and a door is swinging to the left instead of the right, you have to be able to inhabit that space in real time and see exactly how is this lift going to operate. Is there going to be a door that's going to swing into this door? Is the person that's going to come off this lift in a wheelchair going to go right into a hallway that, you know, is a super active hallway? Is this the main stairway of egress for an inclined platform lift? Could we perhaps design this piece of equipment on a secondary staircase that's not the main staircase for egress, so that when somebody's using that piece of equipment, they don't feel any duress to try to free up the staircase? Because again, you have your main staircase. So all of these different parameters, super crucial to be not only make sure that the product is the right product, the right situation, but also so that when it eventually gets used, it's used in such a manner so that the person that's using it, you're not creating another barrier for them. You're creating a situation so that they're then able to access that other floor without any other things, as I mentioned, like ramps and things like this.
So it's a little bit of a curveball question. I've been writing elevator specs and dealing with elevators my whole career. And even as long as I've been doing them, I still find every time I do have to specify an elevator, I still find it challenging.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different things you need to address in your drawings and in your specifications. So one of the big things we have going on in the industry right now is a very huge generational shift. Boomers are all retiring. There's not hardly any of my Gen Xers around. And then we have these ginormous millennials and Gen Zs in the workforce. So we are in a constant mode of training. I know we are in what I do with specs constantly because we have a large young staff. They're all great. They're passionate. They're good at what they do. But, you know, it takes years to get exposed to a lot of things to feel like you're even functional in this industry, let alone an expert. I still don't feel like I'm an expert at anything. What resources do you have for a younger design professional who's maybe working on their first handful of projects that might include an elevator? What resources do you have available? Oh, and their boss just told them the deadline's in 3 days, get this done. How can you help them?
The best way to help those people, well, you know, I think the wonderful thing about working at Garaventa Lift is I've been fortunate enough to be able to be working here for just about 18 years now. And our passion truly is creating an accessible world. We have people back at home in Vancouver, British Columbia, who answer the phone and talk to architects and guide them through these processes on a daily basis. So to have a true in-house staff that's dedicated to work with designers and work out all those details, because oftentimes when the need is required, it's immediate. So I need that information. I need it now. I need to figure out. My boss has told me I got to specify a product. I don't really know so much about these. The tools that we have online are resources on our website. We have architect resources. We have different BIM objects, Revit objects, different CAD blocks that you could drop right into your project so that you're able to see spacing wise. Do I have enough clearance? Do I have enough space for that particular type of product? In addition to that, we have educational courses. We teach lunch and learns. We do that, again, through a variety of different ways, including virtually and in person. We'll come, we'll buy a firm lunch. I just actually did one in Manchester, New Hampshire on Tuesday for a lovely group at Novo Architects. And so we do these continuing educational courses worth one health and safety credit. We have one on all of our accessibility products. We have one that's exclusively on home elevators, and then we have a third one on dumbwaiters as well. So we offer these three educational courses, lots of resources online, and wonderful people up at the home office just waiting to answer these phone calls and guide people through these different processes. Because we do realize that, you know, the thing that you're looking for, like an elevator or a lift, when you're looking for it, you might be Googling, you might not be finding the right thing, you might be finding conflicting information, you might be getting a little frustrated. And that's why picking a vendor, picking a company that's been around for a long time, like Garaventa Lift, 50 years in business, celebrating as of last year, it's a way that we can make sure that we're bridging that divide and we're educating the next generation.
I love that you said that, because one of the things I encounter sometimes is, you know, a rep will come in and they're like, we want to come in, do a lunch and learn, and can you get all your senior people in the room? Which is great. And we'll go over the latest and the greatest. But what I don't see are the reps coming in and saying, I've got some 101s. You know, can we come in and do some 101s? Because our senior people don't need 101s. And kind of the impression is, I need to speak to the senior people to get my products in there. But the people that are actually doing all that work, because of the imbalance of our generations, there's not enough of us Gen Xers to do the work and oversee all these young people. So what's happening a lot is we're dumping a lot of things on this younger generation way earlier in their career than historically they would have had before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm asking all the manufacturers, please come out to all the firms and do all the 101s. These are all the pieces and parts of an elevator that you need to know, you need to be thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first time I wrote an elevator spec, I'm like, how many pieces do I have to decide here? It doesn't just come with a set of buttons. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy the level of detail you have to go. So that's my ask back to you today.
Sure.
Get out in these firms and get in front of those young people because they are the ones that are actually doing most of the work.
I'll tell you that we're extremely passionate about that. When we do, we have the opportunity to be at a firm and we're there and we do a lunch and learn. We certainly extend ourselves. So I always send them a copy of the presentation. I tell them right ahead of time, hey, this is an educational course, but I want you to learn as much as possible. So that means you listen to the presentation, but I'm also going to send you a copy so that if you have questions next week, I want you to reach out to me. And so, you know, that's oftentimes what you find, just speak to the juniors, if you will. You'll find that maybe a week later, I'll get a couple of emails and say, you know, I kind of do want to know a little bit more about that. And what did you mean when you said I need to make sure that I have enough space for that? And so I think that just extending our, you know, willingness to be available and breach that divide whenever possible. Whenever we're in the offices, we're definitely telling everyone that, you know, the juniors, especially if you have any questions at all, please reach out to us. Here's our business cards. Here's our website. We'll even come back. And as you mentioned, one-on-ones, we oftentimes, hey, if they got a project that they're working on in particular, we'll sit right there and look at plans right in the office that afternoon.
Do you ever review specs for them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Because elevators are complicated.
Yes.
And even I will look for extra, even though I've been doing them a long time, extra, like, look this over. Did I miss anything?
Yeah.
Am I covering the right bases? So that's great to know.
Usually people need a couple of times to be experienced with a product before they're able to specify it in a more precise way. Exactly. For our vertical platform lists, people that aren't so good at specifying or knowing what they exactly need, maybe because they've never specified a vertical platform lift before, will go through the spec writer and they might pick every size platform and every size mast and every size configuration. And really that's when we seize the opportunity to reach out to that individual and discuss one-on-one to figure out what the real need is, right? And then that's how you learn, right? We all have to kind of do everything a couple of dozen times before it starts to become a little more comfortable for us.
Couldn't agree more. So tell me, final question, what's the latest and greatest that you would like to celebrate and share with our listeners today at Garaventa?
So I would say home elevators, again, just increasing in this space. We're experiencing many, the next generation getting older and also maybe not wanting to find another home, wanting to age in place, wanting to create their forever home. So the latest and greatest from Garaventa, home elevators with beautiful 3-speed sliding doors. We're showing them off right here at our booth over here at the convention. And that design element, 3-speed sliding doors, barrier-free access to your home. Just, again, works like every other commercial elevator that you use every other day. So that way, whether it's somebody in a wheelchair or grandma or grandpa's coming to visit, or you just want to be able to get a couple of pieces of luggage up the stairs, beautiful design element. Also, it increases your market for resale because now you're going to want to go and sell your home maybe someday and somebody's going to say, wow, you got a home elevator. Now I could consider your home because I have a child with disabilities or grandpa lives with us. And so being able to expand your market for resale, home elevators we're seeing is just a huge growth in that market. One other product that I'll mention to you is Lula elevators. Lula elevators are light use, limited application elevators, 1,400 pounds, only 25 feet of travel. They go 30 feet per minute. They're used in light commercial buildings. Something I wanted to tell you about new in that space is that traditionally they've been hydraulic products, and now we have brand new electric Lulas. And those electric Lulas have higher run capacity. They're able to be used in a lot more different environments where the usage is much higher. And also it being electric with a counterweight, it's a very smooth, very robust product. So that's a couple of the newer things. We're always trying to innovate and create new different designs and products for the market. But those are a couple of the new ones for us.
I'll tell you, I want that home elevator just for my massive amounts of luggage I take everywhere to get up and down the stairs. I know that's horrible, but I was just hauling my big suitcase down the stair to come on this trip. And it's like, this is I'm not getting any younger. This is not a fun activity.
So 15 years ago, it was, everybody in West Vancouver didn't want to carry their skis up the stairs, and so they got a home elevator. Nowadays, they're everywhere, right? So home elevators starting at $30,000 installed price. That's the sort of price where, as housing continues to become more and more expensive, a home elevator is a modern luxury that you could add to your home for a relatively affordable price, and that way you could create barrier-free access and expand your market for resale. So it's a wonderful, wonderful product that you could add to your home as a design feature.
Gurbinder, thank you so much for joining me today and coming and talking to me about how I can do better, how we can all do better, and your new products that are the latest and greatest. I unfortunately don't have $30,000 laying around for a new elevator right now, but I would love to have one of those in my home. Everything you told us today really helps us hopefully do better and be more efficient going down the road.
Awesome. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you having me.
Anytime.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more, visit rcat.com/podcast to see photos, details, and more related project and product information that we discussed today. While you're there, take a look around rcat.com. For over 30 years, RCAT has been the resource for AEC professionals to find the right products for their project. Try RCAT and see how their tools can save you time and money and help you get ahead on your next project. Visit RCAT.com. That's ARCAT.com. If you enjoyed the show, you can support us by subscribing, leaving a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and sharing this with your friends. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back to share more stories and lessons learned to help you navigate your next project.